Well, hello there. Good evening. Great to have you with us here on the Buccaneers Radio Network as we get underway on a Wednesday night from the Outback Steakhouse on Sheldon Road in Tampa. Come by, see the show, say hello to number 93, talk some Buck football here tonight with us, enjoy some dinner, have a good time, and we get ready for the Buccaneers to fly all the way out to the Pacific Northwest and play the Seattle Seahawks. Of course, we got Halloween between now and then. So with all that going on, we say hello and good evening to number 93. You're looking very Halloween festive with the orange and black, here tonight.
Honestly, I have to apologize to all my Sooner fans.
Do you?
I did this earlier today. I'm going to apologize now. My wife likes the way I look in these shirts, so I wear it.
But it's radio, so we got to clarify.
I do not like the color orange.
But you have the color orange now on.
I was groomed and bred to not like orange.
Because that's Texas.
And OSU.
Right.
Yes.
But you have orange on tonight because it's more of a Halloween theme.
Sure, we'll go with that.
Yeah, as opposed to anti-Soonerland.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So we got that covered.
My Sooner fans see me in orange, they'd be like, ugh.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah. But I'm not selling out, I promise.
But it's in and around Halloween. So we'll talk some about that in a little bit. We will take your phone calls if you're joining us.
I'm looking at my son over there. He got on the OU shirt, so he's representing.
He's counterbalanced here tonight at the Outback Steakhouse, so that's a good thing. And the Sooners still very much alive to win the Big 12, so that's a good thing, too. Yeah. We like all those things in and around Halloween. So we'll take your phone calls. Here's how you join us, 990-4620. If you're in Pinellas County, Tampa, one county, St. Pete, Clearwater, Pinellas, the other county, 727-461-4620. And toll-free 1-800-596-BUCKS. 1-800-596-2827 is the toll-free number to join us if you're outside of the immediate area here tonight. And you can also get in on Twitter if you don't want to wait on hold, just want to get a question in or a comment in for Gerald, do so. You can tweet me. I'll take a look at the questions here, and we'll pass those along at Buck Sideline Guy, B-U-C, Buck Sideline Guy, to get in here tonight. So it has been different over the course of the last few days because the last game was not Sunday in this case. The last game was Thursday.
Yeah, it was a longer week.
So it has been a little bit of a longer weekend.
A little bit of a longer week.
What's it been like?
It's pretty good, man. I got off my feet, relaxed, laid down. One day I didn't even get up out the bed. I just laid there, you know, and that was good, man. I got to be dad again. I got to be daddy. I got up. I even cooked one day
for
my family, And I went to the grocery store alone.
Okay.
Got the groceries.
Did you get recognized?
And cooked.
Did you get stopped?
Of course I did.
Where was this? Produce aisle?
Yeah, and I had on the hoodie.
Baked goods.
I had on the hoodie and the hat.
And still?
Yeah. But it was as I was checking out. The checkout lady had the lady that was putting the groceries in the bags. She was like, so this is what you do with your off time? I'm like, yeah.
I see.
But it's... I just try and be daddy, whatever that is, because during the week, I'm on the go constantly.
I understand.
So,
what did you cook, if it's any of our business?
I made fish and vegetables.
Very healthy, all right.
It was macaroni, and my family likes me to fry wings. They like hot wings, and then my son likes regular wings, but I cook them a certain way that he likes. And then my wife liked me to cook the buffalo wings.
Now, clarify, did you have all this going at once where we got fish like in one pan, macaroni in another pan, making the wings
I had to wait. My son is allergic to fish, so I had to wait. But my wife wanted me to make a piece for her, so I did. And then I ate some grilled fish and the veggies, and I cooked the wings for them.
You're just a gourmet chef. I love it.
Yeah, I'd be professional, even though you're being daddy. I got to watch what I eat, but I
understand.
Make them whatever they want.
All right, so you were doing all of that this weekend, and you guys got back to practice Monday and have had two or three days to get ready here for the Seahawks game coming up. How have things gone?
Going pretty good, man. Monday was all about just, you know, coming in and recognizing who we're about to face, getting to know them a little bit. That way today when we hit the field running. We didn't have to worry about getting the first day installed, finding out the personnel, all that. We got that out the way Monday. And got a little extra work in Monday, too. So It's been good, man. So far, it's going good.
And obviously studying the Seahawks and getting ready for this situation, they played Monday night, and we were talking with Levante David Monday before the Monday night game about whether you checked that game out, you watched some of it. Did you get to see
I watched the game. I did watch the game. I had an event earlier that day, and then I went to happy birthday to little Donald Penn, too. He turned five, I believe. He, I went to his birthday party. With my kids and my wife, and but we went to the bowling alley, so the game was on there. I was watching it, then I went home and watched the rest of it.
So you got to see some of the Seahawks there the other night.
Yeah.
What stood out about the Monday night game?
Well, from both ends. I watched the whole game, but so I give my synopsis on both ends. The Seahawks defense couldn't stop the run. And the Seahawks offense had issues in pass protection. So they just, you know, they were not themselves Monday night. But somebody asked me earlier, did the issues they had in pass protection give us extra confidence? I mean, it's kind of a yes and a no. You know, they still ended up winning, you know.
Right.
So they found a way to win. They're a great team, and regardless of how they performed Monday, they're still a great team. So you don't want to judge them off that one performance.
Because of course.
If you go over their full body of work, I mean, I think Russell Wilson is 17-6 in his career as a starter. That's not bad. 17-6, I mean, that's great, man. And then we're going up there to their place.
Right.
They have an extra player on the field in the 12th man, you know. So it's going to be a tough one. It's going to be a tough one.
And the thing about, and we'll talk about this, I'm sure, a couple different ways, getting after him and rushing the quarterback, they may have an offensive line issue or two, but he is elusive. He can get away. I mean, because I saw three or four
Number
different
three?
Times. Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
I mean, there were three or four times where Rams, plural, were closing in, and he got away from them.
Yeah, he has a couple ways to get away. I think the most elusive, not elusive, but the best escape artist, I said last week is Cam Newton. I believe because he has a combo of size, strength. I mean, Russell Wilson, if you get your hands on him, he's going down. Cam Newton, you get your hands on him, you got to get him to the ground. And he's elusive. He can stiff arm you, and he can get away a lot of ways. I think he's number one. Number two, though, I think is Russell Wilson. He has a move where he goes two steps to his right and then spins back to his left.
Right.
I mean, and then his pump fake. I mean, he'll pump fake 20 yards downfield and people still go for it. So, I mean, he's just a very elusive quarterback. He makes a lot of plays with his feet.
No doubt about that, and we'll talk more about the Seahawks and that matchup as this show goes along. Again, we will take your phone calls as we go along here as well, and we want you to come see us at the Outback Steakhouse here in Tampa on Sheldon Road. It is right in the West Chase area in between Waters and Citrus Park Drive. If you're familiar with the Citrus Park Mall, we're right behind the mall area on Sheldon Road. Come by and see us, and the folks at Outback Steakhouse want to let you know that not only coming to this location, but any of the locations in the Tampa Bay area, it's Buccaneer Mondays at Outback Steakhouse for lunch. Gerald, Outback Steakhouse now open 7 days a week for lunch at 11 a.m. Come in on Mondays. Mention it's a Bucks life. Mention Buccaneer Mondays, something to that effect. And you will take $5 off of two lunch entrees just for mentioning the Buccaneers at Outback Steakhouse.
You don't want to pass that up.
No.
I mean, because they didn't used to be open for lunch.
Correct.
So they open now, and I know people love Outback. I know I do, so.
We do.
Seven days a week, you got a chance to, you know, come get it for lunch. That's great.
We like that.
Save some money.
And save some money by saying that it's a Buccaneer Monday or it's a Bucks life. All right, we will pause here. We'll come back with your phone calls, your comments, more on the Seahawks, more on Halloween. Gerald's got to tell us what he was up to with the Halloween party with the kids that was going on as well. We'll do that coming up as we continue on Total Access on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Home of the Buccaneers.
Back in on this Wednesday evening with number 93, Bucks and Seahawks Sunday in the Pacific Northwest. Again, we are at the Outback Steakhouse, Sheldon Road in Tampa. This is our Wednesday night locale. Great to have Gerald here with us, and you can come see the show here on Sheldon Road in the Citrus Park area. Come on by, enjoy some dinner, talk some Buck football here tonight as we're here live until the top of the hour. And again, we will get your phone calls here momentarily, 990-4620 if you're in Hillsborough County, if you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620, toll-free 1-800-596-BUCKS, 1-800-596-BUCKS. The toll-free number to join us if you are looking to join us outside the immediate area, wherever you're tuned in to the show. And we'll also take your tweets here this evening. Our friends at Microsoft with the Microsoft Surface, we've got that thing fired up and ready to go with your Twitter questions and comments. So tweet away. Find me at Buck Sideline Guy, B-U-C, Buck Sideline Guy. And we'll get a Twitter question or comment here for Gerald tonight. Let's go to the phones. Hunter is up first this evening in Claremont over in the Orlando area. Hunter, you're on here on Buccaneers Total Access. Hello.
Hey, y'all. How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
All right, man. Hey, I like you, Gerald. I don't like your coach. And I'm just wondering what you think about his comment that you guys can't come storming back when you've never really stormed forward. So where does that leave you? What do? Just go 0-16?
All right, and what do you mean?
Marty's
actually gone.
Is he gone?
I believe so.
That didn't make sense to me. I don't understand. Well, wait. Before I say that,
yeah,
Hunter, thank you. I appreciate you saying you like me. I like you too for liking me. Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm a little confused about your question. I don't know the context in which Coach said this, so I'm not sure.
I believe on the Monday Night Radio show he was talking about being 0-7, and it was something in the context of you can only concentrate on the one game or the one season, can't get them all back, got to worry about one game to come back. And I believe that's what he's referring to. So there you go.
Yeah. I mean, it starts in order to get a roll going or something going, it starts with one game, right?
Right.
You have to start at some point. So I think that's kind of what he's talking about. You got to take it one game at a time. I'm not sure, honestly, but from what I'm hearing, I'm thinking that's what he meant. I wish I understood your question more so I could help you, but that's really all I got for you, brother.
Back to the phones. Chris in Georgia listening to us tonight through technology. That's a good thing. Here he is on the Buccaneers Radio Network with Gerald McCoy. What's up, Chris?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hey, what's going on, Chris?
I'm doing good. I'd just like to say that I really enjoy watching you play, and you're a great player, and I think you're one of the best defensive tackles in the NFL, and it would be an awesome way to get our first win if we got our first win on Sunday against Seattle.
Okay. Man.
Got a question, Chris, or is that it? He's good.
That's
how about
it?
That? There you go. He's gone.
Hey, not everybody calls on to have a question. Some people just want to call on and, you know, compliment you. And Chris, thank you. I especially appreciate that from Georgia, man. And everybody needs a little confidence booster to know that somebody has your back, you know, and that somebody out there is supporting you. So I appreciate that, and I agree with you. What better way to get this thing rolling than to get this win on Sunday?
What's the conversation right now amongst you guys? I talked to Levante about this Monday. Now we're midweek. What are you guys talking about this week? In and around meeting room, weight room, locker room, out on the practice field. Give the fans a taste.
We have to go in there and be able to take their best punch early, because going into their house, their place, with how crazy their stadium gets, they make one play they make, and the stadium's going to go bananas.
Of course.
We have to be able to withstand that and punch right back. We're going to be in there, you know, we're going to be in for a fight. It's going to be an extremely physical game. They are an extremely physical team, and so are we. But this is the NFL, and that's what you look for. But that's kind of the message. You know, we have to be able to withstand that onslaught early. And once we get past that, and then it'll be not smooth sailing, but it'll just be football again after that, just another game.
I like the way that you put that, though, because you have to believe with how good they have been at home, and I believe Russell Wilson's undefeated at home, or at least undefeated in the last probably 6-8 games at home. You have to believe they're going to land a haymaker at some point,
yeah,
one side of the ball or the other. I like what you said. You have got to be able to take the punch and then deliver a punch. Because if you're going to beat them in their place, you're going to have to fire back at them. Because
it's almost like fighting Mike Tyson.
Right.
You know, he came out storming. But if anybody could stand in there and get past those first couple rounds, Evander Holyfield.
Correct.
Anybody who could get past those first
Buster
couple
Douglas.
Rounds always gave Tyson problems. And that's kind of who the Seattle Seahawks are. You know, that's just who they are.
Well, it's not unlike when you've played the New Orleans Saints in the Superdome, and this team has had some success in the Superdome during your tenure and over the last few years. You know there's a punch coming from Drew Brees at home in that building mm-hmm. where the place is going to go absolutely bonkers, and you've got to be, as you said, ready to take the punch and punch back.
I don't see – everybody says it's the loudest place to play in the NFL. I've never played there, so I have no, you know, I have no judgment on that. But if it's louder than New Orleans when they're on a roll, you can't hear a thing in there. So if they saying it's louder than New Orleans and they setting all these sound records and all this, I'm excited though. I am. I'm excited to hear it, see it, be there and compete, you know, but you know, it's going to, that onslaught at the beginning, it's going to be tough. Everybody has to deal with it, though.
Well, and I will say this, because we've been there a couple of times. We were last there in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
The stadium was built with sound in mind because the people that engineered it wanted it that way, and they actually have overhangs over the sidelines that help contain mm-hmm. the sound like a dome.
Yeah, that's what that is, right? How
and it's
built?
Bonkers. It is bonkers loud for an outdoor stadium, and it will be loud. You're absolutely right. It's regarded as one of the loudest outdoor venues in all of sports for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
So, as you said, you got to be ready for them to do something and have the crowd go crazy, and how do you respond? I mean, let's put it in these terms. A year ago at the Metrodome, Adrian Peterson, you were on the field, takes off on a long touchdown run, and the Metrodome went absolutely bananas. As loud a facility
last Thursday?
As this is
the last Thursday game?
The Thursday game last year.
Man.
And you guys punched back in that game,
yeah.
And that's why you won the game. Because at that point, the crowd's in the game. He's just made the long run. Jared Allen is signaling for the crowd.
And the crazy thing is, after that little issue him and Penn had, Jared Allen gets the crowd going and then goes on the very next play and gets a sack. The
yes.
place was, you couldn't hear anything, you know, so it was kind of, you know, it's kind of like that. But that, from what I'm hearing, man, this place is insanely loud. So I'm excited. I'm really excited.
We're looking forward to it. All right, back to the phones. Here is Jordan in Tampa. Jordan, you are up next on the Buccaneers Radio Network with Gerald McCoy. Hello there.
Hi, guys. How you doing tonight?
What's going on?
Not too much. Hey, Gerald, first-time caller and actually a new Bucks fan as of this year. I just moved down here. I'm a Bears fan, but I figured I'd start rooting for the hometown team. Anyways, I just wanted to congratulate you and say I respect your comments sticking up for Coach Schiano. I mean, I don't really know much about the background, but I think it takes a lot to stick up for him as a man. I mean, I don't really feel too strongly one way or the other on if he should stay or go, but I just appreciate you sticking up for him, and I guess go Bucks. So, thank you.
All right, Jordan.
Thanks, Jordan. Yeah, that whole thing. I don't know. If, you know, I got a lot of mixed emotion from what I said. You know, I never was saying the fans don't need to stress their points, and the fans do not need to voice their opinions. I, if anybody, welcomes the fans' opinions. I love to hear them. Whether they're angry, happy, evil, or great opinions, it doesn't matter to me. You know why? Because they're fans, and they deserve to have a voice. And me, as one of the players, our coaches, the people in the organization, I guarantee you the fans can't be more upset than us because we're the ones preparing every week. We're the ones practicing. We're the ones who go out there and compete every Sunday. So – trust me, I understand the frustration, and I welcome the frustration. I hate that it has to be this way. However, as long as that only pertains to football and not him as a person, that's all I was concerned about. As long as it pertains to him as a football coach, as a football team, and not as a person, then I'm okay. But once it goes outside of football, then that's where I said, you know, it has to stop.
And I think that you've gotten that point across a couple different times.
I thought I did, but apparently I was, I don't know. You know, I thought I was, though.
Back to the phones again here on Buccaneers Total Access. Here is Sean in Nashville, Tennessee, Guitar City, listening to us tonight on Total Access here on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Hello, Sean.
Hello.
Go ahead.
How are you guys this evening?
Good. How you doing?
Hey, doing good. I'm doing great. I'm good. I'm on my way home. I'm off of work. So I just want to call in about, I think it was maybe two, maybe three callers before. I just turned on the radio here on my phone, and I think what the guy was referring to is the comment, and I thought I heard it on Big Dog show. I think it was Glenn or someone that said about not being able, you know, to fire back late. And I took it as, you know, we're not a behind team. And I think that's where he was coming from, opposed to, you know, kind of what you mentioned, TJ. Maybe you can restate that statement that he made. But
you want me to clarify what he was saying?
Yeah.
Well, let's just address it this way.
This is coach's quote.
Well, I think he's talking about something that Mike Glennon may have said as well. But just, I mean, from the standpoint of if you're behind by – the coach talked about this Monday night. If you're behind by more than two scores, it's going to change the game plan. And it obviously did change the game plan in the Carolina game, because once the game becomes 21-6 – or 28-6, you're going to have to throw. You're going to have to throw, and that's part of what he was talking about. But I don't think anybody is suggesting that you're not able to overcome a second half deficit if you're down by two scores. That's not what anybody suggests on that. I think it's more along the lines of the game plan has to change if you're down by three touchdowns, like you were against Carolina, for example.
Well, let me correct it. Okay, so basically, because of how things are going, okay? If you look at us, our offense, and this is the only time you ever hear me talk about the offense, our offense, and this is just to answer the question, has not been putting up a whole bunch of points, okay?
Right.
But in the past couple games, they've been putting up enough points for us to win, okay? However, if we get down and we're behind, we don't have the type of offense that's just putting up points, and can keep us in the game. So basically he's saying we can't get too far behind because we can't put up points as fast as these more explosive offensive teams. That's all he's saying. So it's better to let our defense do what we do, and once our offense scores, to make sure that the other team stays lower than that. Bottom line, you know, we can't let them get too far out and ahead of us because we don't put up points as fast as most teams. We just don't. I mean, it's just that's who we are, and we embrace that, you know. And so with that being who we are, we have to find a way to win like that. So that comes back to the defense. If we know what our offense is and our offense knows what our defense is, we have to do our best to make sure we put our offense in great positions. Bottom line.
The phrase I kept thinking of when you were saying that, they got to be within arm's length.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they are down, and we're not saying that it's not possible to come back from two or three scores down, but if they are down by two or three touchdowns
right.
with what you just laid out,
mm-hmm.
that is big trouble. So the key, what you're saying is, don't let it get to that.
Right.
Don't let it get to two or three touchdowns down.
Yeah, we can't. You know, we can't. And so, really, more than that being on our offense, that's on our defense. You know, we have to protect each other. You know, our offense does the best job to put up points and not put us in bad spots. And we have to do our best to get the ball back and put our offense in great spots. That's our job. And we have to know our role. And if we have an offense that doesn't put up a whole bunch of points but is very efficient, then we have to do our best to make sure the team doesn't score very many points.
Voice of Gerald McCoy with us here this evening. And, again, we're going to continue to take your phone calls. We're at the Outback Steakhouse here in Tampa on Sheldon Road. That's our locale on Wednesday nights, right behind the Citrus Park Mall. in between Waters and Citrus Park Drive on Sheldon Road. Come by and see us for the show here this evening. And a reminder, Outback Steakhouse opens 7 days a week for lunch at 11 a.m. They've got 7 different lunch specials, variety of healthy lunches for $7.99. Check them out for lunch at an Outback Steakhouse near you. And we've got much more with number 93. We've got to talk a little Halloween, too, in addition to the Seahawks.
We can do
that. As the evening rolls on. Stay with us on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Yes, with Gerald McCoy on 620 WDAE and 95.3 FM, home of the Buccaneers.
Continue on with number 93, Gerald McCoy, here this evening at the Outback Steakhouse in Tampa on Sheldon Road. As another edition of Total Access rolls on, we'll be in Seattle Sunday for Bucks against the Seattle Seahawks. That's a 4 Eastern time start, so we're looking forward to going up to the Pacific Northwest for that matchup with Seattle. And before we get back to the phones, between now and then, it will be Halloween tomorrow. And I know you're a big fan of Halloween. You've told me that in the past. You've told the radio audience that in the past. Tell me about what you did for some of the kids in and around the facility. You had kids that were invited to come and be part of a Halloween party at the facility on Tuesday. What was that like?
Yeah, it was great, man. This was yesterday. Some of the players got dressed up, and we passed out candy, got to run drills with the kids, got to dance on the field, face paint. We did a whole bunch of stuff, man. It was just a good time. It wasn't anything, you know. There wasn't any message, I guess you could say, where we sit them down, talk to them. It was just a good, fun time for the kids to come out and have a great time. For Halloween, there was a lot of kids dressed up. But I think the funniest part was all the players dressed up.
All right, so give me some lowdown, because I think I saw a couple of pictures. Did you put a costume on?
I did.
What were you?
I was Peter Griffin from Family Guy.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah,
all right.
It's pretty good.
Who else?
Daquan Bowers was Captain America.
How about that? Had the mask on and everything.
Will Gostin was, I don't know if he was an NFL ref or a replacement ref. I don't know what he was supposed to be.
Did he have a flag and everything?
I don't think he had a flag.
He wasn't throwing flags. Nah. Okay.
Dakota Watson was Bobby Robinson, a made-up basketball player.
Okay.
From the 70s.
He had the
headband,
uniform on.
The high shorts, the tight jersey.
There we go.
The high socks. Anyway. And Keith Tandy was Batman.
We had a lot of superheroes. Now,
yeah.
you're a big superhero Avengers guy, and
yeah.
You did not go superhero?
Exactly, because I don't do anything expected. I always do unexpected things. So everybody expected me to be a superhero. So I said, you know, even my wife, she was like, you should be the Hulk. People expect me to do that. She was like, well, what about Bane? Not doing that.
Wow.
So I did something unexpected. Nobody would expect me to walk in as Peter Griffin.
But you were. And, again, you tweeted out a photo. The fans can go to your Twitter handle there.
I did.
And see it.
If you want to see me as Peter Griffin, go to my Twitter.
It's verified. That's you.
And
how was Bowers as Captain America? Did he
terrible.
Pull it off? Oh,
it's
there
terrible.
We go. What about Tandy Wright?
Lamar Dotson was a Roman soldier.
And?
He pulled that off.
Okay.
I mean, it was perfect.
What about Tandy?
He looked like Goliath.
I like it. What about Tandy as Batman?
He pulled it off.
Okay.
Yeah, Tandy.
But Bowers, you're saying, was a terrible Captain America.
Wow. It was awful.
All right. And one more.
The suit didn't fit.
Well, you know, a lot of times the superheroes are in tight-fitting suits.
Yeah, but at least they fit. They get into them.
He had issues.
His back was showing.
Okay. These are things that happen. Wardrobe malfunction.
You can see him sweating. Not cool.
Now we're getting into the particulars here on what
yeah.
happened. All right, so real quick, just tell us a story or two. When you were growing up, trick-or-treating, were you always a superhero? Or give me a cool one if you weren't a superhero when you were trick-or-treating.
Yeah, I was, actually. I mean, one time, I mean, surprise, surprise, I went as a football player.
Right.
And every other time I was some type of superhero. Batman, usually.
Had to be.
Yeah.
When
Batman.
You give out candy, if the kids come around on Thursday night, do you give out candy? Do you give out fruit? Do you give
we
out
go,
both? What
we,
do you do?
We do candy, but I got 2 kids of my own I got to take out, so we're going to go out and take somebody else's candy.
I see. But if they come to your house.
They get candy.
Okay. Just double checking on.
I'm not going to be the spoiler and give them apples and oranges and
fruit.
No, they want candy.
All right. I'm just checking on these things. Back to the phones. All subjects covered here on Buccaneers Total Access. Here is Chris in St. Pete. You are next with us here on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Hey.
Hey, TJ. Hey, Gerald.
What's going on, Chris?
Not much. Gerald, I've called you a couple times this year. Got all fired up. You told me that you even wanted to bring me in the locker room.
Oh, Chris, welcome back.
Oh, man. I am still, you know, remaining positive, hanging in there. I love my Buccaneers, good, bad, or ugly. I love them. And I love you guys. And, Gerald, I appreciate you and your teammates there are still busting your butt no matter what. And, Gerald, I wanted to bring up something to you, and you might want to write this down because I can't remember who said it or what coach it was or where I read it. But and I want to get your take on this. The saying goes, an honest victory always tastes sweet no matter what plate it is served on. And what I take from that is, and I want to ask you about that, when I played high school sports and a couple of my nephews played college sports, no matter what position your team was in, let's say we were 2-9 and we happened to get our third victory, we were still happy. Because for that day, that victory is going to taste sweet, and everything is going to smell better, taste better, look better for that day and maybe even for the next day. What I want to ask you, Gerald, we still got a chance in this. You know, we're not mathematically out. Anything can happen, and we can get on a run here starting this Sunday. If, you know, no matter what part of the season we're in and what situation we're in, I want to hang up and listen. Is victory still a very, very sweet taste for that day and maybe the next day? I know y'all move on, but is victory still that sweet of a taste no matter if you're 3-13 or 13-3? And Gerald, good luck Sunday. I'll be watching. Thank you.
Appreciate that, Chris. To answer your question, yes. I think it makes it that much better. If you try and beat somebody or something, and there's 100 chances, and they beat you 99, and you beat them that one,
there you go.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. A victory always feels good. It doesn't matter when it comes or how it comes. A victory is a victory, and it always feels good, no matter how many you get. If you get that one, it's great. You know, so. Yes, victory still will feel sweet whenever it comes, and we're hoping and working for it to come on Sunday.
Well, and, you know, I was thinking of this when you were talking. You're an NBA guy, and the NBA season got underway last night. The Lakers, famous NBA franchise, and Magic Johnson, who is no longer associated with the Lakers. He's now part owner of the Dodgers, but he's obviously a Hall of Famer with the Lakers. His motto was winning time. And he even named his book, his autobiography back in the 80s and the 90s, Winning Time. And he talked about on the air and in that book that in his life there is nothing else that replaced winning time. Mm-hmm. When you got to the final minutes of a game and could win the game and celebrate winning a game. And he didn't just mean playoff games. He meant regular season games.
A game.
That
a win,
nothing replaced winning
anybody
time.
Anybody who is a true competitor will take a win regardless of when it is. It doesn't matter. Anybody who's a true competitor wants to win. So whenever you win, you're going to be happy that you won. Whenever that win comes, and it's coming, I promise you, it's going to be sweet. It's going to feel good.
We go to the Twitter questions and comments. We check them out on the Microsoft Surface here. Anthony says, just wanted to say, keep pushing. God will take care of the rest, is what Anthony has to say on Twitter. How about that? So there's a Buck fan tweeting in with a question on that. Back to the phones. Here is Jay in Tampa. Jay, you are next on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Hey, Gerald.
Hey, what's going on, Jay?
Hey, this is what I got to tell you. I love the way you take care of your coach.
Mm-hmm.
I love
Thank
what
you.
You're saying about him. You have his back. Am I on the? Am I talking now?
Yeah, you're still on.
Keep going, brother.
Go ahead.
I'm listening.
Okay. And I agree with the way you are. I completely agree. And I'm very impressed with you, my friend.
May I say one thing? Yeah,
may
sure.
May I say one thing?
Mm-hmm.
Would you have some more dog in you, please? Please, buddy, have some more dog in you,
mm-hmm.
right? If you have some more dog in you, you will be outstanding. I don't see the dog, buddy. I really don't see the dog, my friend. All right?
I appreciate that. I take advice from anybody. So,
what do you take that to mean? Because I take it to mean something, but I want to see what you think it means.
Well, a lot of people don't think I'm evil enough.
There we go. You don't have a mean enough streak.
Yeah.
Not nasty enough.
No. You know, people think I play relentless and I play really hard and I'm very talented. They just think I'm not evil. And that's
I like
okay.
The word evil.
You know, I mean that's okay. He said I'm not mean.
Not dog enough.
Yeah. And I mean that's okay. That's you know, shedding a guy or whatever. There's a lot that goes into that. So I don't take that personally at all. You know, that's been said by more than just him. 99 tells me that on a regular basis. You know, Sap tells me that all the time. My wife has told me that.
I see.
So I don't take it personal. You know, I don't know.
When you get riled up, I don't want to say angry, when you get riled up, it's not usually your demeanor. Do you find that you play better? Because some players play better when they're riled up. And
I don't have to be angry to play.
But some players say, I don't play as well when I'm riled up.
When I get angry, that's when I make mistakes. Okay. And that's when I can't be at my best.
And so that's an interesting point there to the caller.
Yeah, I mean, but I don't think he's talking about playing. I understand what he's saying. It's hard to explain, but I do, Jay, I do understand what you're saying, and I appreciate it. You're not the first person to tell me that, so. I appreciate your opinion, and thanks for being concerned.
Well, I mean, for example, they did a big special on the NFL Network last night, and we're going to honor mm-hmm. Warren Sapp coming up. He would play angry a lot, and that was his demeanor. And there are other players that play angry. Leroy Selman, the late, great Leroy Selman, though, the exact opposite. Leroy mm-hmm. would be aggressive, but Leroy never played angry, never played mad, never played hostile. So everybody's different.
Everybody is, and everybody tells me I need to be more angry and more evil. And, you know, I'm a nice guy, but I need to wait until off the field to do that. But, listen, my coach, I had my D-line coaches get on to me the other day. Well, not get on to me, try to get on to me. There's no way they go get on to me for this. They said they got upset with me because I helped somebody up. So what? I don't care. Kiss my butt. If I want to help somebody up, I'm going to help somebody up. Because, right, on the next play, I'm going to knock him down again.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
And you want to help him
it
up again.
It doesn't matter. That doesn't
and help
change,
him out a third time.
That doesn't change how hard I play. As long as in between the whistles, I'm not helping anybody up, it doesn't matter. So what? I helped him off the ground. Good job. We out here competing. But as soon as they snap the ball, I'm going to try and kill you again. There's nothing wrong with that. If everybody's not like that, if you don't want to be like that, keep it to yourself. I don't care. I don't go – tell them, hey, you're not doing this, you're not this. Listen, I don't care. Everybody does what they do. If I help somebody up, get over it. Get over it.
You want to help a guy up about a dozen times a game. Maybe 20.
I don't care
maybe
how people
25,
feel about that.
Because that means you knocked him
down. You're not supposed to help the other team up. Why not? So what? If they – well, they wouldn't do it to you. I don't care. I'm not everybody else. You know, that's not me. It's just I'm different.
I like that, though.
You know, I don't. I mean, most people don't help the other team up, but I will. Doesn't matter.
Sportsmanship is part of the game. I like it. All right, we got much more on the Seattle Seahawks straight ahead. Again, we're at the Outback Steakhouse here in Tampa on Sheldon Road. He's number 93, Gerald McCoy. Love this stuff here on the eve of Halloween. We will be back on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Stay with us.
Yes, with Gerald McCoy now continues on 620 WDAE and 95.3 FM, home of the Buccaneers.
And we'll talk a little more about the Seattle Seahawks here in just a moment as we wind things down on this Wednesday night with number 93. I know you want to get in a Twitter question or comment.
Yeah.
We'll go to the Microsoft Surface and look at a question or two. What do you have there?
This one is at Marco Cooks.
So Marco.
He turned 21 today, I guess.
How about that?
So happy birthday to you.
He just wanted a birthday shout-out?
Birthday shout-out. So happy birthday to you. And then at Brother Bill 7, what's the biggest positive to take from this season so far? I believe it is that we're not far off. You know, we could easily, just with finishing the game, be 4-3. Just finishing the game.
Right.
Going into the fourth quarter with the lead. Just finish the game off, and we could easily be 4-3. And another thing is the camaraderie and adversity. When adversity comes, you know, how do you react to that as a team? And we've done nothing but grow closer together. And as a unit, we've realized that this game we play is a privilege. And there's many people that would give anything to be NFL players and coaches. And, you know, so if anything, that would be it. Just, you know, that we're not far off. It's just that little piece we need. And we'll get that win and just to stick together like we've been doing. And it's actually helping us to keep pushing.
Marshawn Lynch, we have not talked about the beast mode yet in the show. That will be one of the challenges, obviously.
Hardest running back to tackle in the game.
Why?
To take down. I think the hardest running back to tackle is Shady. The hardest running back to take down is Marshawn Lynch as he scrolls across the TV. I mean, he's a beast. I mean, it's going to take two guys, definitely. I mean, I've seen him just drag defensive linemen. So it's definitely not going to be easy. He's elusive and he's just extremely strong. You got to get him on the ground.
So is part of it that you've got to hold him up? If you're one on one, you have to maybe try to go low some of the time if you're one on one, because you know taking him on high one on one is trouble.
What exactly? So I mean, whatever you got to do to get him down, just get him down. That's what I will say. I don't know how you got to do it, but it needs to be done. And we're gonna have to definitely gang tackle and swarm the ball.
One interesting thing, and Russell Wilson has obviously overcome this, but he is not the biggest guy in the world. And if you have him trapped in the pocket, there will be some difficulty with him being able to see over the likes of you, Akeem Spence, and others on that defensive line. That's part of the idea. Keep him in there because he's not as big.
He's like a new age Drew Brees. Of course, Drew Brees is a guaranteed Hall of Famer, but in regards to how tall he is and how it's kind of difficult for him to see over the line. So if we get him in that pocket and keep him there, it'll make things difficult on him.
Again, for this team having to go all the way out there, I mean, there's always different debate about whether it's harder on the West Coast teams to come east and play or harder on the teams that are in the east to go to the west and play. We do know that this team, we were talking about this with the coach on Monday night, went out to Oakland a year ago and played very well against the Raiders for four quarters and obviously won the football game. So, and you were part of that. So there's obviously part of that is reinforcement that it can be done.
Yeah, definitely, man. We just got to go out there and be us. We just got to go out there and be us. Don't try and overdo it. Don't try and overthink it. Don't try and do anything outside of our job. Everybody has a job. Coach Shiano's the head coach. We have coordinators. We have assistant coaches. We have captains, players, and we have people who work the sideline. We have everybody as an organization. We just have to go up there and do our job and do what it is we're supposed to do. Don't try and overdo it or overthink it. And I think we'll come out on top. That's what I truly feel.
All right, so there we go. Now you got to get ready for Halloween tomorrow. In addition to the Seahawks, but you got to get ready for Halloween with the kids.
I'm ready. My son is a boxer.
He's going to be a boxer?
In our house, he can't be anybody but Floyd Mayweather.
So he's got the gloves?
Yes.
Does he have a championship belt?
I don't think
we're
so.
Looking into that.
We're gonna get him one though.
We gotta look into that.
And I think my daughter is Pocahontas or something.
There we go. All
you right. Pocahontas?
We'll investigate.
She is. She was Little Red Riding Hood the other day. Now she's Pocahontas.
I gotcha. She's switched.
She
it
gets
up.
To.
Listen, great job tonight, and I know Thank we're you. Eager to head up to Seattle. Thank you for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
There's number 93, ladies and gentlemen, Gerald McCoy. My thanks to Chris here at Outback Steakhouse for helping out. Also, Eric Sags back at the station. Bucks and Seahawks Sunday at 4. We're on the air at 3 on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Good night.